This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Go sledding.
There was a time they grew out of that pretty quickly, and then they all started sleeping till 11.
Do they all like gather at someone's house whose parents aren't home or anything like that, you know?
So,
come on, because that's what I would do.
Our house has kind of become the gathering place. So there's same cast of characters that are frequently hanging out at our place.
Open up your fridge, right? Open up your pantry.
Yeah, you want them to feel welcome to at all times.
A little too comfortable.
No, we invite them to do that. And then every once in a while, it's like, my wife the other day bought two giant bags of grapes, okay? Like, and big, beautiful, not cheap grapes. Grapes are not cheap. Brought them
it's
home.
It's a beautiful grape.
It's a big, beautiful grape. Brought them home, and they were gone within a day. And she's like, that's $23 worth of grapes.
Wow.
Gone.
Wow.
Just like that. But, you know, given both boys are there, my daughter was home. It was over the Christmas break there. Everybody was home. Friends came over, and they just evaporated. But
are you going to, do you anticipate doing a DoorDash or delivery for tonight or tomorrow night?
Dude, the charges on those things?
I understand. But I know, because some people I know feel guilty about doing delivery. Like, hey, I'm going to order a pizza and have it delivered. They feel guilty about it because the weather is so bad. You don't want somebody to come out and have to deal with that. But it's also the opportunity for you to really tip well.
Yeah.
And make it worth the person's while.
Yeah, I didn't realize. I've never used DoorDash or Uber Eats or any of that.
I have not.
Never once.
I have a friend who lives by it sometimes.
What I've discovered is how expensive they are when I see that one of my kids on their credit card bill sometimes will see them and be like, what the hell did you spend that on? Oh, I got McDonald's delivered to the house for that much?
Right.
So, yeah, that's something that there's no way I want to pay those costs. But so, strong no for me, dog. All right, I mentioned before the break, winners and losers of MLB's offseason. So, still some moves to be made from the big spenders who own the headlines this season to teams that sat back and watched. There's some obvious picks among our choices for winners and losers. The winners of the offseason. Number one, the LA Dodgers. Number two, the New York Mets. And number three, that's right, your Detroit Tigers. Listed on ESPN.com as one of three teams that are the winners of the offseason. And we'll get to the reasons why in a moment. The losers, the San Diego Padres, the St. Louis Cardinals, and the Atlanta Braves. Here's what they write about Detroit. The Tigers are on an upswing in almost all phases, with prospects from the third-ranked farm system continuing to arrive in the majors on the heels of a well-ahead-of-schedule postseason appearance last season that ended a nine-season playoff dry spell. Detroit played the market well this winter, landing Gleyber Torres and re-signing Jack Flaherty for below pre-offseason expectations while losing no one to a true free agent deal. The Tigers also added Alex Cobb to the rotation and Tommy Kahnle to the bullpen. There are now a number of promising young players, many recently graduated from the farm system, filling most of the other spots on the roster behind the cornerstones of Tarek Skubal and Riley Green. Detroit's rebuild is looking as if it will be a model for others to follow. High praise indeed. Gator, what do you make of this?
I'm a little surprised. I was trying to think would they fall into which category they fall into, because I know some people would have them in the other category. But I also think it's a little too early to do it just yet, because some names still haven't been moved around. We don't know if they're going to get Bregman. We don't know if St. Louis is going to be able to trade Arenado, and I'm sure that's one of the reasons why they might be on the other list. But I do think the Tigers have improved themselves. That's for sure. I didn't realize that they improved themselves that much over the other teams in the league. Obviously, the Dodgers have done what they've done, which is insane.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I would have thought some other teams might be on that list, but like to hear it. I think it makes sense. Adding Flaherty and Cobb to the rotation makes it a better rotation. And for a team that really relied on a bullpen for the last month and a half of the season, when they went, 29-12 for the final stretch there, they were more than half of those games were bullpen games. So now they've actually bolstered the rotation. That's good. Getting Gleyber Torres to play every day for this team adds to the lineup that desperately needed to have at least one more bat to the lineup. So I kind of like what they've done. And the prospect thing is, that's still the unknown. Yeah, they have prospects, but they're just prospects.
You know what's cool about this is it's an independent voice outside of Detroit, covers the entire league, saying, hey, your team slow played the offseason. None of the signings in and of themselves, I think, garnered a wow from Detroit fans. But the collective, this article says the collective and what they paid for Torres and for Flaherty and to a lesser extent Cobb and Canely is actually a pretty good haul. And it sounds like they're getting a ton of credit for having drafted as well as they did. And oddly, a lot of that credit goes to Al Avila.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we're that team now that is starting to get attention. And I guess if you just look at this from the outside, I don't get the sense that a whole ton of Detroiters share the enthusiasm. Like, they're excited, but there was no wow signings.
Well, I think not yet. They're not excited about it yet. I think that once you start to see a couple weeks into spring trading, and with the Bregman thing withstanding, it's remembering that they got Canely and how good he can be for this team.
Right.
Seeing that once you actually see in spring training games, okay, wait a minute, they actually do have a rotation. And there aren't really holes in that rotation. Okay, that's solid. And we want to see the difference of what that everyday lineup looks like. If Torkelson's out of it, what does it look like that now you've got Colt Keith at first base? Is he taking a big step forward this year offensively? And you know, Gleyber Torres, bringing in a veteran bat that knows how to play, and he's not that old, so you kind of like it.
248-539-9797. Do you share this enthusiasm, Tiger fans? Pitchers and catchers report today. The update on Bregman, there is no update. We continue to wait to see if there is any movement there. Got some basketball if you want to go down that road. We'll revisit the Pistons and the college game later. 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Doug Karsh alongside Scott Anderson. Kang's behind a glass. Kenny answering phones. 248-539-9797. A lot of feedback. We were talking about the Bregman lack of a deal at this point, whether or not he got bad advice from Scott Boras. Have you ever had terrible career advice? Also, Pistons, are they changing your behavior pattern? Where are you invested in this team now? Is it just your time? Do you find you're talking about them with your boys a lot? Or has it changed much at all? Look, if you're a hardcore fan, you probably watched them all throughout the tougher times, hoping that this young core would develop, and they're developing nicely. Last night, they got out to a healthy halftime lead.
Is that healthy?
Yeah. Like, what is it, 40-whatever points?
71-29.
29?
29. They give 11 points in the second quarter.
The Bulls had 29 at the half. From Brandon,
29.
Brandon in Detroit writes, I haven't watched basketball in probably 3 years because of how bad the Pistons have been and how bad the sport has become with no defense and all the three-point shooting. It used to be my favorite sport, but now that the Pistons are good, I've been to 2 games this year and I've watched every game and I'm even watching some random teams' games this year. So here's what he said. The part of this text that interests me is how bad the sport has become with no defense and all the three-point shooting. Is that a reflection of the NBA being bad? Is the fact that people have been, that we're overplaying, people weren't paying attention because the Pistons were bad, and underplaying, people aren't paying attention because they don't like the product, but because the NBA is way different than it was 15, 20, 30 years ago. And I'm a little leery of talking about this because every last one of us heard back in my day when we were in our teens, we were kids, and this might be a back in my day kind of discussion. Last time I looked, television ratings were healthy. And last time I looked, this is not an aging fan base that has a problem that we sense like Major League Baseball. So, you know, we can sit here and just dismiss sort of the NBA as a product because our team was bad and Detroiters really didn't care. But is it truly reflective of a problem with the product itself?
Well, the league has evolved. This is what it is now. It's a three-point shooting league, more so than it's ever been. Every year it gets to be more and more and more. With the emphasis on it. And, you know, when they went to the three-point line way back in the early 80s, whatever it was, it seems like teams were reluctant to do that, to go there. I just looked at the box score. Remember that game the Pistons and Nuggets played? It was like a triple overtime game, 186 to 184.
Mm-hmm.
In that game, 186 to 184, with players, there were like four players in the game scored over 40 points. Combined, they went 2 for 4 from three-point land.
That's hysterical.
I mean, that's what it was. And now, given that's 42 years ago.
Yep.
But that's how it was. And now we're getting evolved to the day where the Pistons went 18 of 41 last night just from three-point land. And that seems, is that abnormal to take 43-point shots in a game? I think it might be on the heavier side, but this is where we're at. If you don't like it, I feel like people that don't like it are probably an older generation of basketball fan.
Mm-hmm.
But it also depends on how your team is. Like when the Pistons weren't very, and they haven't been relevant for a while here, and now they are. Leading up to this point, I know I myself have said, I don't like today's basketball game. It's all three-point shooting. Well, it doesn't help that they weren't winning. Now that they're winning,
you like it a little bit better.
I like it a little better.
No,
Malik Beasley knocking down seven three-point shots in a game. You know what? There is something to that when a guy knocks him down. If you're making the shots, it's great because your team's winning and you're happy. If you're not and you're trying to keep up with the Joneses and you just don't have the horses to do so, then it becomes brutal.
Well, you brought up Malik Beasley. My man just broke the all-time Detroit Pistons record for three-pointers made in a season, and we have not hit the all-star break yet.
They got 30 games left.
So that tells you where the game has gone. And you guys know I'm a basketball guy and I'm an NBA guy. I don't like the game as much as I used to. I don't. So I understand if you want to say the older crowd or whatever, like why, you know, the game has changed too much for them and they don't like it. I get where they're coming from. I don't hate the game, but I don't like where it's gone. I think the NBA is getting their target demo, but I think they also have to realize they're losing other demos and maybe they want, you know, Adam Silver has been trying to do things. There's the in-season tournament. The All-Star game is changing.
The NBA Cup, Kang.
Yeah,
the NBA Cup.
My bad, Adam. But there's the All-Star game is always changing. There's talk about load management, things like this. So I think they know they're not perfect, and they got to change some things. My advice, very simple, get rid of the nerds. The nerds have made this a three-point shooting league. They're saying efficiency, that's the way to go. So now everyone has to shoot threes, and there's no post-up game. There's no mid-range game. I like that part, and it is gone away completely almost.
So what is the solution? Is the solution to
get rid of the nerds?
Well,
no, go ahead.
Well, is the solution to get rid of move the 3-point arc back even further? Make it tougher to hit threes?
I don't think so. I think it's like, so football. What happened this past year? What did everyone start talking about all of a sudden?
The running
backs are back, right? We got to get rid. Hey, running backs, now they're back. It's not about just quarterbacks and receivers anymore. You can draft one in the first round. You won't be yelled at anymore, right?
Too high safety.
All that stuff. So I think I'm hoping the league evolves to kind of go back. You know, I think leagues in general do this, right? They kind of go back to
cyclical.
Where the roots maybe were at some point. Not all the way back, but maybe the post-up game becomes a thing again if you get a dominant post player.
Well, what needs to happen is that you need to have a team that is willing to invest in taking shots inside of 15 feet because all of a sudden they're making those shots at a greater than 60% clip. And it's more advantageous for them to take more of those shots than to shoot 35% from beyond the arc, because they're scoring more if they're shooting closer in.
What's interesting, though, is that the three-point line and the three-pointer, which used to, I think, engender excitement amongst the fans, people are now complaining about it. People now don't like it. It's too much.
Because it's kind of boring. Like before, it was like strategy. Hey, you're down by seven. We're going to have to hit a three. And now it's, well, this is just our offense. We run it to get somebody open for a three-point shot all the time.
Well, for people parachuting back in on the NBA because the Pistons are good, I wonder how many of them are just disappointed in the product in general.
Well, that's kind of how I brought up like last week as well, as when the Pistons do, they crash the party, right, guys?
Yep.
Maybe they can change this a little bit, at least for our sake, locally, play defense, play, you know, bring back the mid-range a little bit. I mean, you definitely need a three-pointer. Look what Malik Beasley's done this year. Cade's in the 3-point shootout.
Yeah.
You know, so you need that. I'm not saying ignore it, but Asar plays defense. Ron Holland plays defense. Beef Stew plays defense.
But if we sit here and say we like the game better back in the day, the Tayshaun block took place at, what did we say the score was? 66 to 64?
In the fourth. Right?
It's a fourth quarter game when Tayshaun blocked that shot. Neither team had reached 70.
The Pistons had 79.5 yesterday?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? And what's made a difference with the Pistons? We can say too much three-point shooting. What's made a difference with the Pistons is Malik Beasley's joined the team. And now that we are benefiting from having a great three-point shooter, the team's winning more. It's opened things up for Cade and others. And so the thing that people complain about is also the thing that kind of excites them at the same time. I don't know. Maybe it's just, maybe this is going to happen 20 years from now and 20 years after that, that people are going to just say, back in my day, it was always better. 248-539-9797. Phone calls, feedback. Pistons, another win last night, guaranteed to be above 500 at the All-Star break. And now a game and a half clear of the play-in. Can they make a run at home court? It's Carson Anderson, 97.1, The Ticket. Hey, want to have a healthier New Year? Start by giving your family the best water available just by contacting CGC Water. This month, save $500 on a Connecticut Premier softener and get a free Kinex salt monitor with purchase. Call 855-339-4242 or visit cgcwater.com. If you're not filtering your water, you are the filter. Don't be the filter. CGC Water Treatment and Plumbing can also take care of all your plumbing needs. Save 10% off on any water heater from CGC Water. Your authorized independent Connecticut dealer. Call 855-339-4242. So the NBA, according to Statista, has the largest group of fans between the age of 18 and 29 years old. Out of sports fans, they have the largest group of fans in that age range, 18 to 29. They have the smallest group, 65 and older.
Makes sense.
It is appealing to a younger fan base. Major League Baseball has the largest group, 65 and older. And Major League Baseball talks about its problems. All leagues have things they're trying to address. But with the Pistons getting better, I feel like, and we've seen some of this come in, still some complaining about the NBA product. 248-539-9797. Will, you're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Will.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing, Will?
Will. Hey, just a quick comment on the NBA, and you're talking about the three-point. I don't think a lot of people have issues with the three-pointer in the game. I think the problem is, at least for me, is when I'm watching the game, and I'm kind of old school, like, you know, some of you guys, I don't really watch anymore because I don't like the new pace of the game. But I think it's the amount of three-pointers they're taking and just the inconsistency when you're watching a game and you're seeing teams go back and forth. Just, you know, yakking up threes, rebound, go down, another missed three, come back, another missed three. I think that's the part of the game where I can't stand, and it's kind of boring for me to watch. I love it when teams are hitting threes, and, you know, a guy comes down and hits two, three threes in a row, and the place is going crazy. We love that. But it's just the inconsistency and the amount of threes that are they're taking in the game, which kind of turns me away.
So you just... You'd like it better if they were just better three-point shooters. If, in fact, would you be in favor of moving the arc in to increase the percentage of made three-point shots?
Well, I don't know if that's – I mean, obviously, we have good shooters. I mean, you have some of the best shooters in the game now, but it's the people who are not good three-point shooters who think they're Steph Curry, who think they're, you know all the Reggie Millers, and, you know, they go out there and just are yakking up threes and are just, you know, so inconsistent. You know, it's like you should, you know, just like you said, you should have big guys down in the post. You have your shooters on the wings. You have your guards that can drive. I mean, know your role and play the game like it should be played. Everyone on the floor now thinks they're a three-point shooter, and they're not. And that trickles down.
I guess that goes back to the coaches. I mean, if they're allowing people who can't shoot the shot to shoot the shot. Should we discuss it? Do people yak up threes or do they jack up threes?
Well, you jack them up.
Okay.
Although the way that it's being, they're just vomiting three-point shots all over the place in the league these days. I can see that, too.
Do you think that's how he was using it?
I don't know.
Are they yakking him up? Does one yak up a three or does one jack up a three?
You probably jack them up, yes.
Let's go to Philip in Detroit. You're next here on 97 on the Ticket.
Phil! Okay, great. So, I like the NBA where it is today because I'm not so much with all the threes, but I just like it where it evolves the big man. He's not limited to one, he's not relegated to one form of playing in the post all the time. Where it doesn't clog the lane, where it gives the guarders the ability to be able to penetrate and get down the lane. It also adds a bigger dimension in the pick and roll game, where it's not always just a pick and roll. You can get a pick and pop or whatnot. But I do like a big man that also does have an inside game as well, though. You know, it's a give and take of the whole thing.
I was about to say, because basically, Philip, you're describing a unicorn. You want a big man that has an inside game back to the basket, but also steps outside and hits the three, which is pretty much like the perfect player.
Well, not necessarily. He doesn't necessarily have to hit the three. He can have a mid-roll game as well. Okay. But you know what I'm saying? I don't necessarily need him to shoot threes, but I do need him to develop some form of an outside shot where he's not relegated just to being in the post. Like, Shaq had no real outside game. But,
none.
Hakeem was to a degree, like you said, a unicorn. He could put the ball.
He was
an
artiste, yeah, man. That guy was an artist
in
the post play.
But could Shaq play in today's game?
I mean, I'd like to think yes.
I mean, you got a guy who's going to average 28 points a game and not one of them comes from beyond 15 feet. Do I care? I care about the 28. Right?
Yeah, I think. But Shaq, again, Shaq was like, you know, you're just not going to get the Antoine Carrs of the world playing anymore, which is more typical of what the big men were. I mean, Antoine Carrs probably a bad example.
No, but I mean, but like Karl Malone.
Reference a guy
Malone
from 40 years ago.
Was Karl Malone a three-point shooter?
No, not necessarily.
No, but you'll take the 29 points a game he gave you.
Yeah.
It's just, the game has just evolved that you've got shooters, but it doesn't mean the guys from previous eras couldn't play in today's game. I think you'd welcome a player like that because it does... I think maybe what Kang was getting at is with the NBA being cyclical, things always kind of come back, and maybe defense right now is what's working for the Pistons. It harkens back to the day. Maybe we're so concentrated on seeing these 3-point shooters that maybe we'll see the emergence of the mid-range game and the short game, because if guys are scoring points, that's really what you care about. As long as you're putting in at a really high rate in the field goal percentage, you don't care where it goes in, just that it is going in.
Well, that's what I go back to. Like, I was joking with saying get the nerds out of the game, but what I'm saying is that the analytics and the stats, the efficiency guys, they're telling the coaches, right, and the players and upper management, this is where you win. The math says if you do this a lot more, you have a higher percentage to win the game. And so they're saying, yeah, shoot more threes because it's just worth more your time and effort, you know, than going inside and not scoring. A mid-range shot is a bad shot. Like, you know, or anything close to the three-point line that's not a three is not a good shot. So this has gone with all sports, though, right? It's not just basketball. Look at baseball. They're telling you, hey, this is the way you have to do things. And what happened to just the purity of sports is what I'm saying. And I think we've gone too far analytically.
248-539-9797.
King's shaking his fist at clouds.
Kind of is.
I know it, man. I don't like to hear it.
I like it.
Yeah, but I still watch. I want the game to do well because I enjoy the game. I used to enjoy it more, though, you know?
Oh, I know.
Marvin is next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hello, Marvin.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Marvin.
Yeah, what's going on? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, man.
I just had a crazy thought while we were talking about this. What if, for certain instance, they limited the amount of threes, shots of threes, worth threes? Say, you get 15 attempts at threes, and after that, all your shots in the paint are worth three. You think that would make a big difference?
Well, I mean, just switching it up so all of a sudden now a shot in the paint is worth three,
would it make a big difference? Yes, it would make a massive difference.
I don't know if it's a good difference. I mean, I thought you were going to say just the first part where if you limit it to, hey, you can only take 15 three-point shots per half, something like that, or in a game.
But if you encourage more points in the paint, then you get the entire game. Not everybody's just jacking up threes. You start playing old basketball where you start feeding those big guys, and they're worth more. You know,
dude, that's it's hysterical, radical change. But like, if they gave away 3 points, if you took a shot in the paint,
I got 3 points for a dunk.
Yeah,
only after you've
expired the 15
3-point shots. Yes,
I mean it's super convoluted. But you talk about a game changer in terms of the way a game would be played. And the way defense, I mean, you would D like crazy to keep people from getting into the lane.
The game, I don't think we need to complicate it.
No, this is super complicating. And this is going way too far, and I love it.
Yeah, but it's also, it's turning to MTV Rock and Jock, too, when you start making up rules like that.
That is also correct.
And I don't think you need to do that.
No, I don't want to do that, and that's really radical, but I think he's onto something as far as if you change the math. You know what I mean? Those analytic guys have to change the way they think. The formula changes. And I think that's what he's trying to do because right now, everything tells you 3-pointers better than 2-pointers. And so get everyone that can shoot and you'll have a better chance of winning. He's trying to change the math back to you know, the way we used to watch basketball.
Well, that's like rewarding the old school big is what that is.
Yeah. So everyone's played pickup basketball at one point or another, right? Whether it's 3-on-3, 4-on-4, whatever. And did you always go by ones and twos?
Yep.
Because it was easy math. But if you think about it, just shoot twos. It's worth double the points of one. That's not even, that's why it's right now the NBA is 3-2, because 2-1 would be insane. If the 3-point line was worth 4, no one would shoot a 2-point in it. Hey, we'd watch an NBA game where there'd be 1 2-pointer taken.
You all logo
yeah,
shots.
Exactly.
248-539-9797. People parachuting back in on the NBA because the Pistons are actually worth the watch. Do you like what you're seeing? It is Carson Anderson, 97.1, The Ticket.
Hey, a couple years ago now, I had to get new garage doors, and I knew who to call. I called Precision Garage Door right away because they'd helped me out before, and I remember the great customer service. It's exactly what I got. They were amazing. John, Jeff, and the whole crew, they were spectacular. They came out, picked the perfect doors, gave me a bunch of different options, and I got them installed, and I was so happy, and I am still happy. And right now, in fact, you can get free door opener when you buy any new garage door. That's a $499 value, but the sale is going to end on March 31st. Call 1-800-DOOR-REPAIR or visit precisiondoormi.com. Schedule that appointment for a free consultation. Ask about the opener. And if you mention 97.1 The Ticket, you're going to get your service fee waived. Don't wait. Call Precision Garage Door today. They're awesome. They're available weekends and no extra charge. They offer the industry's leading warranty, and all calls are answered 24/7. Again, 1-800-DOOR-REPAIR or go to precisiondoormi.com.
It's always good to have a 50-point lead. Carson Anderson, 97-1 a ticket. People are parachuting back in on the NBA because the Pistons are good, not necessarily liking what they're seeing as far as the brand of what the brand of basketball the NBA now is playing. And the thing is, number support that a younger generation likes this sport. We always hear about Major League Baseball trying to get the younger generation. Out of all our pro sports leagues, the NBA seems to do the best. So does that mean there's really a problem? That's the audience that grows up with you. That's the audience that probably 20 years from now is going to be saying, back in my day, it was so much better. But things change, things evolve. I don't know that what we're having is any different discussion than conversations that anybody that's over the age of like 25 heard their uncles and fathers debate about sports and how it was better back when they were young. And maybe it's just because when you're young, you look at it completely differently. Maybe the games haven't changed that much at all. You just, it's so much more important to you when you're 18. It they're all seen as heroes and superhuman, and you get to be older and you don't look at the athletes the same way, and the games don't mean as much.
Well,
what do? You bitch about the game.
The old up and under move just doesn't hold up to
to
a 25-point shot.
Let me tell you something. I was playing 1-on-1 against my 17-year-old the other. It still works.
Still works, baby.
Backed it down. Pump fake. Yep. Through. Yep. Laid it up with the left.
Yeah.
And in.
You got 1 point for that, and then he hit a three, and he's up 2-1 on you.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true. That's 100% true. And I lost.
The drops.
What you just said is exactly what happened. Exactly.
The drop step does not hold up against
I get the ball, and I dribble, and I start backing down.
You bust
like 13 dribbles getting into position. Yep. I'm on the low block. I make a pump fake. He flies by. I lay it up and in.
Solid.
Yep. Nice. He gets the ball back, and it's like, check. And he just grabs it and shoots, and it's 2-1. He didn't take one dribble.
And he's not breathing heavy, and you're sweating over there. You're dying. You're calling timeout. Yeah. Regroup.
Water break.
That is 100% exactly what happened.
And that's the league.
And that's the league.
And I get it. Like, I definitely
and
admit.
And I lost.
I admit. Old man yelling at clouds a little bit here. And they're clearly hitting their demo, though, Doug. You mentioned the numbers earlier. Because look at the commercial. It's shoes. It's Pop, Mountain Dew. It's video games, right? It's stuff that appeals to that audience. So they're hitting their advertising dollars. But... but for everyone else, is it helping?
I can't believe you guys brought it up because we literally played on Saturday.
Yeah, that's the game.
And I worked so hard for a point. Check. Pulled the trigger. I'm losing 2-1. I get the ball back. What do? Start backing him down again.
Final score, 12-6.
And Doug's not going to learn the lesson. The lesson is... work on your three-point shot.
I always needed to work on my three. Let's go to Justin. You're next on 97.1. Hi, Justin.
Hey, good afternoon, fellas.
What's up?
So, with the game right now, I'm not thinking it's more of the shooting three-pointers that's making it unbearable to watch. For me personally, I think it's the resistance. A lot of players aren't playing good enough defense at this point. They're just able to jack up three-pointers at will. Only way I see combating that is possibly bringing back hand checks or taking out the zone, only because when watching this game over and over again, it seemed like it's non-competitive. I've seen so many 20-point comebacks this year watching this. So, what's your take on that?
Maybe bringing back the zone isn't a bad idea.
Well, look, I mean, you could change the rules to favor the defense. I don't know if the data would tell you that the most healthy thing for the NBA is to bring the scoring down, but it would certainly change the way the game is played.
That doesn't necessarily bring the scoring down because it was still high scoring in the 80s when there was hand checking as well, and they weren't jacking up threes all damn day.
Is that going to change that, though? Are they people going to – how does that keep people from jacking up threes all damn day, as you put it?
You can get up on a guy.
It's not actually going to stop it with the way today's player plays. I'm only just comparing it to eras when the defense was actually – when the rules actually favored defenses. They were still high scoring. Okay. I'm not comparing it back to like 2003 when the Pistons and the Spurs were dominating the league with 70-point games.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where the whole change came into play, because I guess the NBA viewer found it kind of boring to watch an 80 to 60 game, you know?
And you're right. I mean, here's the truth. Back when the Pistons, the going-to-work Pistons, were competing for NBA titles, people were bitching about the NBA. And we heard it all.
Oh, yeah.
We were the problem, remember?
Yeah. They changed the rules.
248-539-9797. Now it's gone the other way, and you can still find bitching about the NBA. Maybe we just accept it for what it is in this era of time is probably the best advice. But Joe is on a cell, and he's next. Hi, Joe.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
We're good.
Good. So the best solution I've heard to kind of change this is remove the corner three. So you'd have the three-point arc stop at the free throw line break. And now defenses would have a smaller area to have to cover for the three, and you could strategize to say, we're not going to allow this opponent to shoot threes tonight. And that would sort of force offenses to reincorporate post-play and mid-range play. What do you guys think of that?
That's interesting.
I've heard this talked about. It's the closest three on the court. You could just have an arc that ends
at the sideline. Instead of having a horseshoe, you're just having an arc.
Have an arc that ends, goes sideline to sideline, and the corner three is gone. It's an intriguing idea that I wouldn't mind seeing in the G League or seeing in Summer League to see how it plays. But yeah, you know what? I mean, I guess one of the inherent messages, because I'm trying to get away from us just being old guy yelling about the way the league used to be. Is it fair to say that we would prefer a variety to a league that is leaned so heavily on the three? Because there's nothing special about a 15-foot jump shot. That doesn't exactly get the juices flowing either.
Don't tell that to Rip Hamilton.
Right, I got it. And Rip was the best at that. But in this NBA, I mean, the ball would still go in for Rip from 15 feet, but would he be devalued?
Probably would. And this is why I say unless you start developing that game, because everybody's worried about the three-point shot, but if players start knocking those 15-foot shots or 12-foot shots, if they start knocking them down with a ridiculous success rate, then you're going to have to account for that more so than accounting for a three-point shot.
It would stand to reason if somebody spends all their time perfecting the shot from 23 feet that they could be even better from 15. Right.
There's a place in the game for mid-range guys. Like DeMar DeRozan just had 42 points. He's not a three-point shooter. He went 15 to 22, 4-6 from three, though. He's not a high-volume three-point shooter. He never has been, never will be. He gets all his points in the lane, mid-range, or he takes it to the hoop. You have to mix these. I mean, to win that way, though, you have to mix in guys that on the team that can shoot three, of course. You know, they also have Zach LaVine now, who shoots a lot of threes as well. So Rip could survive, because if you make baskets, you make baskets. But it's just a different type of game now. And then Rip, his range would have to improve, though. You know, like he could shoot that corner three pretty easily, but I think he had a tougher time at top of the key. Things, you know, the game, every sport evolves a little bit, and you got to change a little bit. My thing is, I feel like it's really gone drastically kind of one way. But the caller bringing up hand checking, that'd be interesting if you're allowed to hand check. The league wants the lane open, though. They want you to be able to drive and dunk, and you don't want to clog up the lane. They have zones allowed, but just not the full zone like college allows.
Yeah, and the lane is bigger. Could they go to a college lane and obviously allow you to post up closer to the basket to increase the probability of making that shot without, you know, running the risk of 3 seconds? Is that a simple solution, is just go back to the college lane?
I think there's some interesting solutions, whether it's the zone defense or just making a three-point shot an arc. Mm-hmm. I think those are interesting ways to do it. But part of me also is like, find a way to be better. You know, it's find a way to combat it, defend it better.
Yeah.
Because everything evolves. It's like when baseball got rid of the shift, I look, does it slow the game down and all that? Yeah, it does. But at the same time, I was like, if they found a way to defend you, then you have to adapt as a hitter.
I know you were always in favor of that. Just bunt the damn ball or go the other way with it. But they didn't want power hitters not swinging for the fences.
And I get that. But this is what happens when you start playing towards the offense. At some point, it's going to go too far and people are going to say, wait a minute, what are we doing here?
Let's go to Andre in Southfield. You're next. Hi, Andre.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Good. So for me, I'm 46, so watched a few generations of basketball. I think the business model, you got to do the marketing and business model along with the rules and whatnot, because I think if you start with the rules and those of us that have seen the NBA, where it's grown to since LeBron, where they cater to two to three guys on a team, has kind of created this, you know, three, four guys standing around waiting to catch and shoot three-pointers rather than, and that's really marketing, not really a style of play. Like, you know what I mean? So now instead of playing like it was in the 80s and 90s where you had five guys and you'd end up guys with unique skill sets playing to their strengths, you got everybody trying to play the same style where high pick and roll, guys in the corner, as opposed to saying, let's take five basketball players, which is what we're forced to do when we go to the Olympics, and play real basketball where everybody can dribble, pass, shoot. Now you can change the style. You can feature more real competition rather than marketing players where everybody's chasing being that LeBron / Luka / James Harden, where they earn the big check, the big marketing deals, as opposed to pure basketball. You know what I mean?
And yeah, I don't want to be. That's a society. I feel like we're getting into the real deep end of the pool about, you know, superstars, celebrity, what's in it for me. I think it's hard to market team, even though there's nothing greater than when a group of people come together for a common goal and, oh, beautiful for spacious skies. Waxing poetic over here. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket.